Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, people. It's the best time of year. I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about two games for Monday Night Football and two games in the MLB postseason. We'll talk about it all. We'll give you our props for Bills and Falcons and maybe a gameplay in Bears Commanders. Then we'll go on to the two games in the ALDS or the ALCS and the NLCS. We got game one of the Dodgers and Brewers popping off, and game two of the Mariners and Blue Jays, all coming up next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. All right, Jenks, so I was just telling Denton this, that I was feeling extremely lazy over the weekend because there was a girl that I swam with in college in our class. So there was like eight of us in, you know, the class of 2010 or whatever, and she did an Ironman. An Ironman race over the weekend, which if you're not aware of what this is, I think it's like, you know, 2.5 miles swimming, 116 miles on a bike. And if that's not enough, you finish it off with a full marathon at the end. 26.2 miles running. And you do this all in one sitting. She did this over the weekend. Meanwhile, I'm ordering the family feast at Texas Roadhouse.
Well, I drank for 8 straight hours watching college football. God. Woke up yesterday. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. That's good. Let's drink some water. I don't know how people do this. I have the ultimate admiration for it. I mean, I worked out a couple times last week. I was like, yeah, there you go. Get back on the horse. There you go, Michael. Nice job. And then I see people doing this, and it's like I could not admire it more, because you forget about, okay, you do this, but there's so much training leading up to it. Like the amount of discipline that you have to have. And sometimes you see people have full families. Like if you're a mother, for example, and how are you doing this? How are you working? How are you, you know, being a mom to your kids and also finding the time to train for an Ironman? I don't know how it's done, but it's very special. People be able to do that.
Oh, Jenks, she has 5 kids.
Oh, my God.
Kids,
that's what I mean.
5 kids. And so, like, you think to yourself, like, occasionally I think you coddle yourself and you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I have kids. But then there's other people who do this. And, like, she was saying that there was an 80-year-old woman who finished this race. And she said at the very end that she was, like, crawling to the finish line. And, like, hopefully she's all right. But still, I think it's, like, very easy to make excuses why you can't do things. Mm-hmm. Like, if she can do an Ironman, like, maybe I can go to the gym for 45 minutes.
I can't. I can't do that. Good on that.
Draw the line.
I got to draw the line. But, you know, I think that's important, especially as you get older. I think the thing is, for a lot of people, this just, they need something to be passionate about. And you cannot do an Ironman without being passionate about it, right? You can't just kind of like, I guess I'll do an Ironman. You can't, I guess I'll do that. You have to fully commit because your health is at stake and it takes so much work. So I think for a lot of people, it's their passion, and you have to have that to drive you to put in all of the effort and all the time it takes to complete such an event. And I admire people like that because I don't have that. I mean, I have different passions, but you have to really, that's something that just burns in you for a long time, especially when you're seeing someone who's 80 crawling towards a finish line. It's like, listen, you've lived a great life. You don't have to do this. But if you want to, good on you.
Right. It's like they prove it to themselves because like they don't need to prove it to other people. One more thing before we move on. The little detail of the story that I could not get past. So Marissa, my friend, was in a bike crash during the Ironman where she fell off a bike and scraped herself up so bad and hit her head to the point where she blacked out and they had to do a concussion test. So after the concussion test, they said, you do not have a concussion. You merely blacked out. And then it was time for her to run a full marathon, Jenks. So I think we watch these football games, we're like, oh my God, this is like war. And it is, or at least, you know, as much as it can be without being actual war.
Yeah.
But like what she did last night was like, I feel like it was on the level of like NFL players that just get absolutely rocked. And it's like next play, except for she ran an entire marathon after that.
Well, and also I get that. If you put in that much work, I mean, imagine the
right.
hours and hours and hours. It's like, I am here. I am in the middle of this. I know this is a setback, but I'm okay. I am not letting this stop me. So I do understand that when you've tried so hard and you put in so much effort to get to this point, it's like, this is not stopping me.
Yeah, she said I was going to finish that damn race. And
damn
she
right.
did. So congratulations to her. All right, so we will be sitting on the couch and watching Monday Night Football tonight as we have two games on the slate today. No running required. So we'll start with the Bills and the Falcons. Bills laying 4 on the road here, total of 50. Jenks, I think that's where my attention went first because I do think we see a lot of scoring in this game. But the Bills look like one of the premier teams in the NFL. And I will say this, the Falcons do have some things to like about them, especially when you look at their defense. As far as yards are concerned, this is one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. But I'll say this as well. The Falcons are not great. That defense is not as good when it comes to the red zone. So I do have my questions there. So do you believe in the Falcons enough to say they can keep it a close game with the Bills here?
I don't know. I'm not crazy about the numbers. And also, they've moved a lot. I would lean towards the Bills here. I want to see how the Falcons can perform against a really good team. Like, they do have right now currently the number one pass defense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they let Baker Mayfield throw for 3 touchdowns in week 1. And who have they faced since then? J.J. McCarthy, Marcus Mariota. And Marcus has been fantastic here in D.C., but he's not Jaden Daniels. So now you have Josh Allen coming in. And also the Bills coming off a loss. I don't feel great about this game. I would lean towards the Bills, and we'll see how the Falcons can perform against one of the elite quarterbacks and currently the reigning NFL MVP.
So what about a total in this one? Because I'm not huge on a side either, but I do
yeah.
think both these teams can score some points. Maybe the only sabotage factor is that the Falcons, their offense has not been good in the red zone. Like, they have all these yards in between the 20s, but then they just kind of stall out. And sometimes you're just like, hey, give the ball to Bijan Robinson. It's really not that hard. But matchup-wise, this should be a good matchup for Bijan Robinson because the Bills have had a bit of a leaky run defense. And Bijan Robinson is one of the best in the NFL at making defenders miss. If you look at those type of stats, he's one of the best in the NFL. So I think he could be in store for a big night. His number is pretty high in this one. His game logs in the past 3 have been 75, 72, and 143 yards on the ground. I think if
yeah.
you're looking at props, maybe that's the way to go. But 75.5 is a touch high. Maybe what you do, and I was thinking about doing this, a same game teaser where you kind of dumb down the total to 42.5, and then you do Bijan Robinson like 60 plus rush yards. I feel like that's a way to play this game.
I think you can do that. I like the under if you're talking about the overall total, which is 50 instead of, and this is just kind of a lean. But I would say that if you look, I think James Cook is going to have a big game for Buffalo. And if I'm Buffalo, take advantage of the Falcons' weakness on the ground, which that's weakness relative to their secondary, which is exceptional. And also, when you talk about Bijan Robinson, that's a good way to attack the Bills. So if we see both running backs having a good game or chewing up yardage and chewing up time on the ground, I think maybe it lends itself to an under here. But then if you're teasing it down, then yeah, you can do that.
I still think we're going to see a lot of points. Like, I'm nervous about the Falcons, but I just feel like this Bills offense can score in an absolute hurry. And so mm-hmm. that's why it's hard for me to look at the Falcons' like defensive numbers and be like, oh, well, they're going to slow down the Bills. I feel like nobody slows down the Bills. And here's the thing about the Bills' defense. They have let some bad teams kind of stay close and hang around and score some points. Like,
yeah.
we saw it with the Dolphins. We saw it with the Saints. So maybe there is an avenue in which the Falcons can at least score some points here, but I think Bijan Robinson is my number one play in this game. I think, you know, he's the player that has the best matchup on paper. other than that, it's just tough for like any time touchdown because Josh Allen just kind of vultures away a lot of them from guys like James Cook. But James Cook's been very good this year. So I think all those guys on that Bills offense can feast. And it should be noted that the Falcons are going to have their hands full defending tight ends. The Bills tight ends have racked up the most receiving yards of any team in the NFL as a unit. So we'll see if the Falcons can defend the tight end position well tonight. If they can't, it's going to be a tough night, it feels like, for the Falcons. All right, Jenks, I know you want to talk about this game, so let's get to it. Bears at Commanders. Commanders laying 5.5, total of 50. So last year, this was the game that kind of broke the Bears, in which it was down to the final minute. The Commanders had this come-from-behind win, and it just stunned the Bears, and then it set off a chain reaction where the Bears lost, like, what, 7 or 8 games in a row?
Yeah.
So it feels like this is not really the same scenario, but the Commanders seem to be getting healthier. Jaden Daniels is supposed to be playing. But how do you feel about 5.5?
Well, this opened at 3.5, and I like the Commanders at 3.5, but I don't like them at 5.5. This feels like a game you could maybe middle if you got the Commanders early and you can take the Bears late here. Like, it feels around like a 4-point game, something like that. I think more than anything, so that's going to help me lean away from the spread. I think we're going to see a lot of points in this game. I would definitely lean towards the over. Total set at 49 and a hook. The reason why I lean towards the Commanders initially is one thing that is not being talked about is the revenge factor. And I know people say, oh, it's revenge for the Bears because of that Hail Mary that sort of sent their season in a tailspin. The Commanders were able to reel off wins. People forget that Ben Johnson was number one on the Commanders' head coaching list. It was not Dan Quinn. It was Ben Johnson. And the Commanders were in the air, like flying to see him in Chicago, and he wouldn't pick up the phone. He's like, nah, I'm gonna go ahead and stay here before going on to take the Detroit job. Commanders have not forgotten that. I think that's a revenge factor on their side. And also, when you talk about points, this is going to be strength versus weakness, at least as far as the Commanders are concerned. They average more yards per carry than any team in the National Football League. Guess which unit is the worst in the NFL stopping the run? It is the Bears. The Bears allow around 6 yards per carry a game. And we saw Bill Kroski Merritt come alive last week. He is really starting to establish himself in the NFL. It is technically running back by committee here in D.C., but Bill is that dude. And I think as the season goes on, he's going to get more and more carries. I think he's going to have a big game tonight. I think he's going to run all over that Bears defense. And then conversely, the Commanders do have some weak spots in the secondary. And I think Caleb Williams can have success. I think we're going to go back and forth, back and forth. So I'm going to go over.
I saw this matchup on paper, and I think the odds makers kind of laid out the same game plan as you did, because the number's pretty high for Jacory Kroski-Merritt at 70.5 for somebody who has not been getting a ton of carries. And this is the sabotage factor for somebody who has only had double-digit carries twice this season. And I understand, like, he is the lead back now, but he only had 14 carries last game. He had 111 yards, but it just feels unsustainable to average 7.9 yards per carry. Maybe he breaks off one of those big runs, and it should be a great matchup for him tonight. But Jenks, would you play the over on Bill's total tonight?
I'm going to try and get creative with it. The crazy, you talk about people jumping all over this prop. This prop opened at 63.5. It has gone up 7 yards. For a rushing prop, that is stupid. For any prop, that's stupid. He could probably get it. So I think what I'm going to do is, I still think the Commanders win this game. It's at home. Jaden Daniels is back, and I think they're going to run over the Bears enough. I don't know if they cover the number, but I think they win this game. I think it's going to come down to maybe a final possession, something like that. It's going to be a great game. But I like the Commanders to win outright, and then if you play Bills rushing prop down to 60 and a hook, that plus a Commanders win is plus 120. So I think I may play that.
Interesting. It feels like that's the way to go for both these games, because I'm not super sure on some of these totals and spreads, but I do think that the lines are pretty sharp on some of these player props. And listen, as somebody who has lost many a prop on the hook, maybe you dumb it down a little bit and you say, hey, the odds makers are right, but just to be safe, let's combine it with something else. Jenks, what do you expect from Jaden Daniels tonight? He's 100%, right?
He
Should he be running all over the Bears tonight?
I don't know if he'll run all over them. The good thing about Jaden is he does a really nice job of only taking off when he needs to. I mean, he is a pocket passer. He just has that ability to take off, you know, if the play breaks down. Yeah, he's very shifty. Mm-hmm. He's very elusive. And we might see, especially when you're talking about a Bears defense that can't stop the run, it wouldn't surprise me to see a couple of designed runs in this game. I mean, he's wearing that bulky brace, but it really didn't affect him at all. It took him about a quarter to kind of get in the groove last week against the Chargers, and then he looked like the JD5 that we all know and love, the JD5 that was the Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, and certain players tend to come to play when it's prime time, and he is one of those guys, right? Like, you know how some players just elevate their level of play when the lights are brightest, and he's certainly one of those guys. I think we're going to see a nice night from him, too. I think we're going to see a ton of points this game. That's just a gut feeling, but both offenses can attack the opposing team's weakness.
Yeah, all right. It should be a nice night in sports as we also have two games in Major League Baseball, ALCS and NLCS. We'll give you our plays for both after the break here on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. It is Monday, October the 13th, and we have two postseason games, baseball games tonight, which should be great viewing before we get to Monday Night Football, of course. But, Jenks, we have four teams remaining. We have the Dodgers, mm-hmm. the Brewers, the Blue Jays, and the Mariners. And I think that I can root for three of these teams.
Okay.
And it's not that I dislike the Dodgers. It's just I think I'm ready for some new blood. And I think everybody pretty much is. Like, I would love to see the Blue Jays win. Wouldn't mind seeing the Brewers win. And, of course, how do you not get behind the big dumper and the story that's coming out of Seattle? So it just feels like, okay, like maybe the Dodgers win, but I would love to see somebody else.
I want the Brewers or the Mariners. That's who I'm cheering for. Like, I want the Mariners because Seattle has never, never won a World Series game. They've never been to the World Series, right? So this is all new territory for them if they can get past the Blue Jays. And the Big Dumper is an awesome story. I mean, how can you not have fun with that? And then the Brewers are playing for Uke. People forget about Bob Uecker, but he's been, you know, he passed away earlier this year, and he just embodied Milwaukee baseball. And whether it's a signed bat that a player will use, it was the banner that they unfurled after the win in their previous series where that had his name on it. Like, he sort of carried them in spirit. I mean, they've been an awesome team, don't get me wrong, but they've been playing for him for many, many months now. It shows in the way that they performed on the field. So a couple good reasons I feel like that either of those teams that would win it all would be, I think, pretty satisfying.
Yeah, it feels like the Brewers are like the ultimate team, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really based on one player. It's more of a joint effort to where it's like the combination of the sum of their parts, as opposed to, like, you know, having one face of the franchise. When you look at, you know, the Blue Jays, and it's Vladdy Jr., and the Mariners, and it's the Big Dumper, which, again, how could you not get behind the Big Dumper? And especially the year he's having, and especially the postseason that he's having. And obviously that's going to be one of the storylines to watch in Game 2 of the ALCS. Mariners and Blue Jays. The Mariners take Game 1 last night behind some heroics from the Big Dumper. Hit a home run in that game. Jorge Polanco had the other two RBI. But I'll say this, Game 1 lined up really well for Cal Raleigh. He was coming into this game 5 for 12 against Kevin Gausman with 3 home runs. So clearly he had Gausman's number. But Jenks, here's the other thing about Cal Raleigh. He has been absolutely fantastic in games at the Rogers Center. For some reason, he loves Toronto. 9 home runs in 14 career games. in Toronto. So I don't know if this trend continues, but I'll say this. The Blue Jays have one of their young guns pitching tonight, Treya Savage, who is 1-0 with a 0 ERA this postseason. He's only 22 years old, but has some wipeout strikeout stuff. So this is going to be an interesting one. Of course, the Mariners feel like they have the momentum, and you know, they look like maybe the better hitting team. But the Blue Jays, you know, this postseason, last night was not a great indicator of what their offense had been, because they had been one of the hottest hitting teams in all of baseball this postseason. And they are favored tonight at minus 140. Seattle plus 115, total of 7.5 runs. Logan Gilbert goes for Seattle. Jenks, is there anything worth playing in tonight's game?
Ooh, I think I'm going to go with an under here is what I'm going to do. I think that's what I'm going to do. I like the under. So you can get a first five under four and a hook for minus 140. I couldn't believe that. I thought this was set at 3.5. So when you look at Treya Savage, maybe he's the factor here that you worry about, just because, you know, he's a young guy. But his stuff has been unbelievable. We saw him against the Yankees. You know what I mean? That splitter is just nasty. Mm-hmm. He had those guys confused all game long. And clearly, he's not bothered by a playoff atmosphere. I mean, that game was in New York, wasn't it, where he went to Yankee Stadium and pitched in that way. So as crazy as that Rogers Center crowd will be, we saw that last night, I don't think he's going to be intimidated by the atmosphere. And then conversely, when you look at Logan Gilbert, he's pitched seven straight games where he's given up two runs or less. You can get a first five under four, minus 105. You want to do a first five under 4.5, it's minus 140. I'm going to go there.
Yeah, first five under four is minus 102. Very close to even money over at BetMGM. And it just feels to me that I understand that both of these offenses on paper in the regular season were two of the best offenses, especially when you're talking about the Mariners. But I don't know, these games feel like they're playing so close to the vest, and we've seen that, you know, throughout the postseason, is that we have seen a lot of unders. I understand the Blue Jays had that hit parade in the last round against the Yankees, but Logan Gilbert has really locked it in the postseason as well. His alter ego, Walt, which he also had no backstory on. I was eager to hear more, but apparently it's somebody who just slices and dices the competition by striking them out. I don't know. I wanted more from that backstory. But I think of the pitching matchups, this is probably one of the best ones we're going to get in this series.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Every now and then we'll get that number that seems like, you know, during the regular season we'll get a 4.5 or 5 in what looks to be a great pitching matchup. And you're like, oh, what's going on here? But here I just feel like it's a bad number, to be honest with you. And also when you look at these two teams, you know, we saw an under game in game one, and last night was a night where, I hate to use one game, but last night was a perfect night, at least in theory, for the Blue Jays to step up and hit the ball, because Bryce Miller has not been good this season, ERA over 5, and they went cold. Vladdy Jr. went 0-4, so if those bats have cooled down a little bit, makes me like this first five play even more. So, yeah, play it at under 4, make yourself some even money here. I think it's a great play.
I also think that I don't want to fade Treya Savage because he's been really good, but it's wild to me all the things that kind of went in the opposite direction for the Mariners, and they still won game one. Like, even the fact that they played a, 15-inning game, like, 48 hours before this game. Remember the way that they had to get to the ALCS is they had to defeat the Tigers in 15 innings. And then they had, you know, a starter going last night, and Bryce Miller, who's not one of their top guys. And they were on the road, and they still won that game. So maybe the urgency doesn't feel like it's quite there as much, and it would be wild if the Mariners keep winning games on the road. But still, it feels like this matchup might be even better for them now that, you know, they get a little sleep, and they have a better starter on the hill.
Yeah, I feel like they sort of stole one last night.
Right.
Like, everything's set up for the Jays to win that game. You got a team that just mashed the ball against the Yankees. And then, you know, I just can't say enough about Bryce Miller. I mean, on a short rest to give arguably his best performance of the postseason. After the game, he said, look, I know I've disappointed this year, but I felt great out there, and it was huge to come out and perform well. And I needed that. I know this team needed that. So I wanted to raise my level of play. He did that. And so, you know, when you're the Mariners, this was just not a good spot for Seattle to win in game one. So the fact that they got that, I think they carry that momentum into tonight's game. I don't necessarily mind a little sprinkle on the Mariners at plus money. I don't know if I want to lay $1.40 with the Blue Jays. I think I'd rather lean towards a total. This just seems like a low-scoring game to me.
Yeah, so for the people at home, why would you not play full game total? Why are you going first five here?
Well, that is a good question. I think you can do either one, honestly. I just like to simplify the handicap, right? I think that's what it is for me. So for me, do I think both these guys will go five innings? Yeah, I do. There's always a chance one of them could get roughed up. That's just part of the sabotage factor that you deal with in each and every single game. But at least for me, if you want to go full game under, I like that as well. And if you do that, then you're not going to lay the juice. I think that's maybe why you go full game under. I'm going to go first five under, four and a hook. But either one, I think, is a good play. I mean, we've sort of seen that throughout playoff baseball anyway. Looking at unders is always a good call, particularly when talking about these two starters. It's just personal preference, but I like to keep it simple when it comes to baseball. And I think, at least for me, it's something that's worked.
I think I just have trouble trusting the relievers as much, just because it feels like there's more volatility.
Yeah.
And I think this was creeping in the back of my mind as well. If this game goes to extra innings, you know, a lot of these games have been super tight. And like, do you really want to go to extra innings sitting on a total of 7.5? Like, that makes me nervous, because eventually, you know, it feels like the hitters will have the advantage to where eventually the bullpen's going to be worn thin. And a reminder, you know, one of these teams played in a 15-inning game just 2 days ago, so it feels like the Mariners have had to use a lot of bullpen arms and even starters in that game. I think Logan Gilbert pitched in that game as well. So it just feels like they have had a lot of wear and tear on, you know, their bullpen, to the point where I don't really want to play a full game. And plus, we can go to bed earlier if we only play the first five innings. And then finally, I think if you're into props, Cal Raleigh has been on absolute fire. If you want to play his hits plus runs plus RBI over 1.5, it's minus 110. Cal Raleigh is hitting 400 for the postseason. Mm. Also, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's having a career season. Also, he has great numbers in Toronto. As I mentioned before, 9 home runs in 14 career games at the Rogers Center. So I think that one's worth a look-see as well. All right, let's head out. I was going to say out west, but this game is actually in the central or eastern time zone. I need to check in Milwaukee. Brewers hosting the Dodgers in game one of the NLCS. We've got the Dodgers minus 150 favorites. Brewers plus 125. Total of 7.5 runs. Blake Snell facing TBD. Don't love that for the Brewers, but I will say this. It feels like the Brewers have been undervalued all season long. We have been big believers in the Brew Crew simply because the numbers align and they've had the best run differential in all of baseball for the entire season. This is a home game, but Blake Snell is certainly a tough matchup. 2-0 this postseason with a 1.38 ERA, and plus the Dodgers have all of those bats in their lineup that are not just good, but postseason tested. So, Jenks, are you playing the Dodgers tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to play them in the first five as well. I talked about keeping it simple. Blake Snell's been a guy who, if you want to keep it simple, Snell in the first five has been great. Now, I will say that if you look at him on the road versus home during the regular season, he was a very different pitcher on the road. 4.30 ERA, 0-3. But what did we see last time out from Blake Snell? Goes into Philly, 6 innings of one-hit baseball. And we know how good the Phillies are at home this season. Shut them down. The Brewers are going to go with an opener, and then I think they're going to hand the ball over to Quinn Priester in this matchup. But it's just hard for me not to back Blake Snell. I get a little nervous with the Dodgers bullpen because sometimes Dave Roberts gets a little squirrely. I know they have Roky Sasaki now, so that's going to help in a big way. But ultimately, trusting Snell I don't think is a bad play. And it's cheaper in the first five than it is over the full course of the game. You go first five, money line is minus 145. So I will probably go there tonight.
Yeah, it feels like that's the logical play for me. Because as good of a story as the Brewers have been, like this just doesn't feel like the ideal matchup. Like a bullpen game or like an opener opening against this lineup of the Dodgers. Like it's just a tough one. And what's crazy is that, you know, the best player for the Dodgers, or arguably the best player, Ohtani has not had a great postseason. And I feel like if this was happening to Aaron Judge, other people would be very, very mad and like, oh, he's ruining it. Problem is the Dodgers have so many good players that it doesn't even seem to matter. You know, yeah. If you look at, you know, his numbers so far in this postseason, Ohtani has been far from good. So I don't know if that continues. But the thing is, it's just the Dodgers are just so battle-tested throughout the lineup that I don't know. Like, Ohtani's hitting 91, Jenks, for this postseason. Did you think that he was going to be this bad?
No, I didn't. But also, he's got plenty of time to turn it up, too. I'm not going to be stunned if Shohei goes off tonight and then the Dodgers make the World Series and he goes off. And so Dave Roberts was asked about, hey, do you think any of this has to do, Shohei's struggles has to do with him pitching? You know, do you want to keep him fresh? And he's like, no, it's Shohei. But also, at the same time, when we've discussed how, you know, some of these hitters can bail out a manager from making a poor decision or just kind of gloss over a skipper making a poor decision in game, these Dodgers bats can gloss over Shohei having a bad series because you don't tend to focus on that. You're like, oh, well, Shohei, it doesn't matter. The Dodgers are so good at hitting the baseball, they can afford for Shohei to go cold and still dominate.
Right, because even at the bottom of their lineup, they have guys like Kike Hernandez, who's like a right. postseason legend. Like, he can hit 200 the entire season, but when the postseason rolls around, you know he's coming up with a clutch hit. Mm-hmm. So I would lean towards the Dodgers here. As far as the total goes, usually I think I lean towards the side of unders in the postseason, especially in game one when you have like most of your bullpen fresh and you're really trying to gain the early momentum. But with the Dodgers bats, this one makes me nervous.
Yeah, that's a thing, too. And also, at least if you're talking about first five bats, the Dodgers are, I think, the third best first five team in Major League Baseball. It's just tough. I think the Brewers are going to go with Freddie Peralta in game two, and that's when I think you take a hard look at the Brewers. But when they go with an opener, and Quinn Priester has been very good this season. Got roughed up last time out, but an opener plus Quinn going up against Blake Snell, I just feel like sets up for the Dodgers to get a dub here.
Yeah, that or you just play a Dodgers team total, because, like, that's been a free play, it feels like, for most of the postseason. Like, there's been, like, I think one game where they didn't get it. But for the most part, it has been smooth sailing for this Dodgers offense, and I don't see that stopping anytime soon. So I do think the Brewers have a chance in this series. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this game one situation lines up very, very well for the Dodgers. And I know minus 150 is juicy, but it's the Dodgers, man. And they're even better in the postseason. Blake Snell's absolutely dealing. All right, so coming up next, we'll go back to the NFL and revisit some of the biggest games of the weekend. And should Baker Mayfield be the front runner for MVP? We'll talk about it next here on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of trying to make this alt leg parlay with some legs for the Bills and the Falcons and the Commanders and the Bears. And of course, we will get to some of those plays later here on the show. And if you ever miss anything, just download the podcast. Just search the Daily Tip wherever you get your podcasts. But I was going to ask you something, and it pertains to our next soundbite. Have you ever saw somebody waving and you thought that person was waving at you and you're like, oh, hey, to find out they were waving at somebody behind you?
Oh, that happens to me, I think, on a regular basis. It's always embarrassing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, hey, because I'm like always trying to be friends with everybody. I'm like, hey, and I'm like, oh, that's not for you, Michael. You just need to mind your own business. I feel like at least, you know, every, like, once a month at least, I'm in a situation because we're always out and about or whatever, and I'll see somebody waving, and I wave, and I'm like, Michael, not for you. Not for you. I'm just always trying to make friends and connect, but then sometimes I get a little overzealous there. So, yes, it is embarrassing. I'm trying to just you know, be in my own little world more instead of constantly looking for contact like I'm on a desert island or something.
I think the worst is when you're like overzealous about it and you're like,
yeah,
hey, and you get so excited about it and then like you can tell their face change and you're like, oh right. My God, that was not for me. So it feels like there was a case of that this weekend in the NFL when it came to Baker Mayfield throwing an excellent pass to one of his teammates. So his teammate heard the MVP chants and thought the MVP chants were for him. You have to listen to the soundbite.
I'll tell you a funny story. This is crazy. When I score and I hit MVP chant, I'm thinking they talking about me. So I asked Shep, I'm like, Shep, they was chanting MVP? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I ain't do nothing this year. And then he was like, they talking about Baker Tess. And I was like, well, that explains it.
That was Tez Johnson, one of the youngest receivers on the Tampa Bay Bucks, and that was his first career NFL touchdown. And he had the one moment in his mind where he was like, MVP? Me? It's like, nah, dude. It was your first ever NFL touchdown. But it was one of those moments where when he talks about it, you can tell that he really believed it for a second.
Oh, imagine being in that moment, right? Because you're just rushed. You're just filled with emotion, right? Oh, my God. And I'm the MVP? I'm the most valuable player? You know what I love? I love that he told that story. Like, I think it's awesome that he had the self-awareness to be like, oh, okay, I get it now. It makes sense. But I would imagine that sort of feeling where you catch your first NFL touchdown pass, and then immediately you start hearing those chants. In the moment, you could probably get lost and think, yeah, this is for me. And someone has to sort of set you straight. But I love that he told that story himself.
Yeah, it just made it more endearing.
Very charming.
And you're right. Like, it's just really funny. I think we've all had those moments, like, play out in our head where, like, you know when you're little and you're, like, shooting on a basketball goal by yourself? And you're like, she shoots, she scores, and the crowd goes wild. I feel like he had one of those moments, like, in his mind playing.
Oh, yeah. That probably had something to do with that. I would imagine that you have an idea what that might be like when I score a touchdown in the national, and you exaggerate it to the extreme, right? It's a fourth quarter play, fourth down, time running off the clock. I catch the touchdown pass. Everyone yells MVP. I'm carried off on the shoulders of the team. I'm doing the talk show circuit. Like, you just build it up in your head like it's amazing. And so he probably just caught up there, but I totally understand it.
Tez Johnson, relatable. So this was a part of a bigger story, which was the Bucks continuing to roll with a big win over the 49ers, 30-19, covering his 3.5-point favorites. Baker Mayfield continues to look like an MVP, and yes, those MVP chants were for him. 17 of 23 in this game, 256 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 carries for 14 yards, including this play on 3rd and 14, and Jenks, I know you are not a fan of Oklahoma, and I am going to assume you are not a fan of Baker Mayfield, but this play felt like Baker Mayfield to a T. And even if you take away, like, the football aspect of it and, like, the X's and O's of, like, what he actually did and blowing by some of those defenders, it simply looks like a guy that just wants it more than anybody else on the field. Like, that's the takeaway, and that's the feeling I get when I watch Baker Mayfield play football. It's just somebody who truly wants to win games. And I know that feels very simplistic, but it felt like he, you know, willed his team to a win in this one, missing a ton of players in this one. Mike Evans was out. Chris Godwin was out. Jalen McMillan was out. And Mika Ibuka left this game in the second half. So what a win for the Bucks, and what a season Baker Mayfield is having.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. I may not like the Sooners, but you got to give credit where credit is due. And if you're talking about the MVP race, and right now he is the third favorite at plus 470 behind Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, you always want to have that signature moment. And it's rare, I feel like, when a third down run for a first down is a signature moment. But this really was, because the Buccaneers were not at full strength, and because he escaped the sack and, you know, was running over guys, and then the effort at the very end to get the first down. This is not normally how a quarterback runs the football, but it was all the want to you would ever want to see in a quarterback who has revitalized himself and rejuvenated himself and looks like an MVP guy. So when you're talking about a legitimate front runner, he is that guy, and it's not just based on this run or this game, but what we've seen all season. He has been brilliant for the Bucs.
It feels to me that he has the most ammo going behind him now, just because I do think people always want somebody new. Like, we see this all the time across the sports landscape where, you know, there's the voter fatigue. And Josh Allen can certainly make a great case for winning the MVP this year yet again, and he is your favorite over at BetMGM at plus 180, followed by Patrick Mahomes at plus 275, and then it's Baker Mayfield at plus 425. So let me ask you, Jinx, is there still value on Baker Mayfield? And do you think when it comes down to it, if Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield have similar numbers, do you think Baker can win?
You know, I do, because voters do like to see someone different. And also, the odds aren't necessarily indicative of how this will be voted upon, right? Because you could have a lot of public money come in on someone and shorten those numbers. So Patrick Mahomes right now has not had the season that Baker Mayfield has had. Now, of course, you have to project throughout the rest of the season. But if Baker can continue to play at this clip, and also when he gets his weapons back, think about how much better he could potentially be. The Chiefs can also say the same because Rashee Rice is coming back for them, so it'll be an interesting race. But if it comes down to, you know, the numbers being very similar here, I would give Baker the edge. And also, he doesn't have as much to work with as a team that Patrick Mahomes has.
And I think that went into it last year, because you could make a very strong case for Lamar Jackson last year. But the narrative was that Josh Allen didn't have nearly as many weapons, and he carried his team, you know, to having a great season. But I do think that included in this handicap is the fact that the Bucs need to continue winning games. So right now, the Bucs stand at 5-1 and look like one of the more impressive teams in the NFC, but the injuries are starting to pile up. So, Jenks, I think these kind of go hand in hand. Do you think the Bucs will be still standing as one of the top teams in the NFC, or do you think it doesn't matter when it comes to the MVP race?
I think they will. I mean, we need to see how serious Emeka Abuka's injury is, left with a hamstring. But eventually, I would think that they're going to get their full complement of guys back. And right now, even if they don't, at least for a few weeks, Baker is having that effect on his receivers where he's just elevating the play of everyone around him. And there's no question that not only when you see a rush like he had to get the first down, not only is that something that sticks out in the minds of potential MVP voters, it inspires your team. There's no way you can't get jacked up seeing your quarterback make a run like that and give his all. It really does inspire everyone around him. And look, some teams just have it. The Bucs aren't winning in blowout fashion, but they're finding ways to win, and it's a credit to Baker. And also, when you think about their division, it's not the toughest division in football, so I think that might lend itself to a few more wins down the stretch as well. But there's a lot to like about Baker in the MVP race.
I think the one sabotage factor is the fact that they have played a lot of tough games, and they have more tough games on the schedule coming up. Because sometimes it can be an accumulation. Like, even going into this game, I was a little bit worried for the Bucs, simply because, you know, their games before that were, okay, they lost to the Eagles, a very physical team, 31-25. Then they have to go all the way to Seattle, and they play in an absolute shootout, which they win the game. But still, it feels like it was kind of exhausting. And then, you know, they play the Niners. They come all the way back to Tampa. But then they win this one as well. But then you look at the rest of the schedule, or at least in the next four games. Next up, they go to Detroit, an Alliance team that's probably pissed off after losing to the Chiefs. Then they get the Saints, okay. And then the Patriots, who look like, you know, they're a really good team these days. And then they have the Bills. So it's going to be a tough schedule ahead for the Bucs. I don't know if we continue to see this trajectory for Baker Mayfield, but if he can do it in this next four games, I feel like he's going to have a real case to be the actual front runner in the MVP discussion.
Yeah, it all lines up well for him, and he has looked great. So it's not, I would also feel worse if it were just a few games this season, but his play and his stellar play goes back to last season as well. So this is not some sort of, you know, flash in the pan. This is just who he is now as the Bucs quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen some great reclamation projects. And as a Browns fan, you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is the guy we traded away to get Deshaun Watson and paid Deshaun Watson $230 million or however much it was. Can't be feeling great about that. Oh, who do you have? Dylan Gabriel? Congratulations.
Not great. Not great.
Oh, man.
That's what the Browns have done, you know? But now they've hitched their wagon to Dylan and Shadur. I mean, this is where quarterbacks go to die in Cleveland. So at some point, it's an organizational thing. And maybe the guys currently playing right now can raise them from the dead, but it doesn't look that way.
Yeah, I would say maybe, you know, you think about Patrick Mahomes as MVP, but it just seems to me when the Chiefs are winning games, like, I understand last night was different, but the Chiefs are usually not a team that, like, dominate offensively. Normally, it feels like they're dinking and dunking their way down the field. So I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to have the numbers to compete with, like, maybe Josh Allen, but I could be wrong. It's still Patrick Mahomes, and we've slept on him before, so maybe I won't be doing that. But I do feel like Josh Allen still deserves to be the favorite. Very similar numbers to Baker Mayfield. And plus, man, the guy is just unstoppable. All right, coming up next, it's hour three of the show, and we'll tell you our biggest takeaways from Sunday Night Football involving the Chiefs and the Lions. And we'll talk a little postseason baseball next on The Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.